la 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 la. That's got to be the least flattering camera angle ever.
It is.
Thank you.
Oof, I mean, I'm
no. You're supposed to say no, Garn. You look great.
We're both subject to these angles. It's not great. Trying to this. They set up video cameras in the studio. We're trying it out. Not a fan.
No, it makes me uncomfortable because I don't think there's ever been a podcast in history where the popularity of the podcast surged once they went to video. Because nobody wants to see. I mean, you're still Bryce. You're young. You're youthful. You got a great head of hair. I'm quite a bit older than you. My head is covered in scabs and divots right now as because I'm getting treatments for sun damage on my head. You know, that's why you wear sunscreen and a hat all the time in your youth. I never did that, and now I'm paying the price. Look at the side of my nose. Is that visible on camera?
I feel like the people who are on TV are there for a reason, and the people who aren't for a reason.
Exactly.
And now we're messing with nature by going against, we're swimming upstream.
I feel so self-conscious. I was laying in bed last night going, oh, we got to be on video for the podcast today. What am I going to wear? Usually I wear a uniform. Today I didn't wear the uniform because it doesn't look good on camera. This shirt probably doesn't look good on camera either.
Who knows? Maybe this video will never see the light of day.
Here's hoping. A lawn chair is a good town chair, but you're aware of that. It folds down to half the size so you can lay it flat. I can watch the world go by and live without a care. I've never had a bad time in my old lawn chair. My name's Garner Andrews. That's Bryce Kelly over there. We are the Lawn Chair Prophets. You can reach us now. We got a shiny new email address that we paid dearly for. It was so expensive. lawnchairpodcast@gmail.com. Not Lawn Chair Prophets because nobody can spell profits properly. That's good. I went with lawnchairpodcast@gmail.com.
Should have gone with Lawn Chair Don't Care. That would have been fun.
Is it too late to get a new lawn? Oh, my God. I got to secure that immediately before this podcast goes out because somebody's going to steal that from us.
Yeah, the one you got's fine.
Lawn Chair Don't Care. Maybe we'll do that. But lawnchairpodcast@gmail.com if you want to get in touch with the show. I'm going to read you a couple of quick emails in a second here. But first of all, a new segment on the show, recommendations.
We're not the boss of you. Don't let us tell you what to like and do. But if you're bored and you have no friends, the Lawn Chair Prophets recommend.
This is where Bryce and I just tell you about the things we're into this week. Something that we really enjoyed, something that made us go, hey, that's pretty good. It could be a food, a drink, a song, an album, a movie, a TV series. It could be anything. And this week, my recommendation is a drink called the Dark and Stormy.
Now, this is a drink you need to be over the age of 18 or in some provinces 19.
Or if you're listening in the U.S., over 21. So, yeah, it's an alcoholic beverage. I was at a little backyard get-together last week. Beautiful summer afternoon. And our boss actually made me. He's like, hey, Garn, you want a dark and stormy? I'm like, that sounds lame, but please, yes. And he gave me one, and it blew my mind. It might be my new drink. What it is, it's like an ounce or 2 ounces of dark rum, mm-hmm. and then a bunch of ginger beer. You mix those two things. I would never drink those things independently. I would never drink straight dark rum. I would never drink straight up ginger beer, but you put them together, it's a summertime delight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe good. I'll try one. Maybe I won't.
Yeah, you should. It makes you look sophisticated.
That's how these recommendations work.
Yeah, dark and stormy.
Maybe I'll try it. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll sample. Maybe I won't.
Now, I'm going to ask you about it every single day. I'm going to be that annoying person that gives you a recommendation and then won't let it die.
Yeah, follow up daily, please.
Yes, yeah. What about you? What do you got?
Mine is a series. It's on Netflix. I just stumbled onto it and fell in love with it. It's so well done, and it's mind-blowing. It's the F1 Drive to Survive series.
But, Bryce, I don't care about racing.
Me neither.
Hmm.
You know what it was? At the start of the pandemic, you kept seeing all these videos of, like, hockey players, and they'd be like, what are you binging to keep busy? And the number of them that were saying this F1 series, and I was like, race cars, boring.
Yeah.
And I got to a point where I hit a wall, and I needed something. So I watched it, and it's phenomenal.
Okay.
So it's about racing, and it follows an F1 season. So they've just, three seasons are on Netflix. The last season, season three, follows the 2020 racing season. And if, there's so much about F1 racing I did not know. They only show you what you need to know, so it's not like you watch an entire race. But I had, and the amount of money that goes into that sport is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's wild. You have no idea how much those cars cost, how much the drivers get paid, shipping them all over the world.
The science of it?
The incredible science behind it, the ability to do a pit stop in less than 2 seconds. It's crazy. And so they break it down. So I didn't even realize there's only 10 teams.
That's it?
And each team has two drivers. All the teams hate each other. All the drivers, even the ones on the same team, hate each other. It's the most bitter, angry sport. They're incredibly candid. Some of the footage they get is wild. Some of the things these guys, they do not care.
How many seasons?
There's 3 seasons, 10 episodes each.
Okay.
And then there's one guy, he runs, he's the chief principal or whoever of the Red Bull team. And it shows him and his family and his wife. And I'm looking at his wife being like, why does she look so familiar? Staring, realize it's one of the Spice Girls.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Spice? Which Spice Girl?
Ginger Spice. So you talk ginger beer, I'm talking ginger spice.
Wow, it's all about the ginger.
But the F1 series on Netflix, it's phenomenal.
Okay. Those are our recommendations. I mean, watch, listen, drink if you want. We don't care.
I care a little.
We're not the boss of you. Or are we?
Hey, just pop a squat because they're definitely not sharing a chair. It's the Lawn Chair Profits with Garner and Bryce.
Oh, the listener mailbag, Bryce, because we have that shiny new email address. Can I read you a couple of quick ones?
Please.
Which camera are we on right now?
I have no idea. I don't have the screen on me.
Oh, why?
Because I don't want to see.
Are you that hideous? I'm going to pretend it's that camera over there. This is a picture of some homemade bagels. These are bagels. Over here are bungles. Because weren't we just talking on this podcast last? We got some, was it McDonald's?
Yeah.
Okay, got to credit the right place. McDonald's dropped off bagels for us. They were breakfast bagels, breakfast BLTs, and they were phenomenal. But the mayo kept shooting out the hole in the bottom of the bagel. And I said, you got to invent a bagel plug to prevent this from happening. Maybe you jam a Timbit in there or something. But that'd be a weird taste sensation, the sweetness of the Timbit. And then somebody, this is from Jeff, who texted in and said, early in the pandemic, I started baking up a storm and started to experiment with making bagels. We came up with the same challenge of various bagel condiments escaping through the bagel hole. That's when we invented the bungle. Pictured on the right beside your standard holy bagels, it's like all the goodness of a bagel interior maximized due to the lack of a hole, all encompassed in a comforting exterior with the practicality of a bun.
Jesus, what an explanation.
Yeah, how do you even do that?
So long story short, he plugged the hole with more bread.
He created a holeless bagel.
So maybe I'm just dumb, because I also said that that was like the third bagel I've ever had. Isn't just a holeless bagel, isn't just that just bread now? It's a slice of bread?
No, it's a different kind of dough. It doesn't taste the same as bread.
I don't know. I guess I'm impressed.
Anyway,
it solves the mayonnaise dilemma.
You're going to the Hall of Fame, buddy. That's going to be right up there with the telephone, aviation.
It's more than I accomplished over the last year.
And a quick little one. I'm not going to read you this whole one, but this is from Brett. Just says, Garner and Bryce, I absolutely love your podcast.
Aww.
I listen on my commute to school. I live in the Riverbend area, and I ride my bike every day to Strathcona High School. If you are not from here, that's a long haul.
It's a good stretch.
Like Riverbend to Strathcona High School, which is right over here in this neighborhood. And it's for, you don't get to just go to Strathcona High School. You got to apply.
You got to know someone?
Well, no, you have to have either like a size 14 brain or be a good athlete.
Okay.
Those are the people that go there. So, Brett, what are you? Size 14 brain or an athlete?
Well, if he's listening, he enjoys his podcast. It's not the brain.
Anyway, please keep up the hilarious content. You guys are a delight to listen to.
Aw.
And I am amazed how you always find a topic to talk about that I never knew I needed to hear insight on, but definitely always walk away a better man because of it. All the best, Brett.
Wasn't that nice?
Well, thank you very much, Brett. I appreciate that. If you want to fire off an email, you can do it. The email address is not lawnchairdontcare. It's lawnchairpodcast@gmail.com.
You're listening to the Lawn Chair Profits with Garner and Bryce. They're trapped in your phone
forever.
So the other day on the show, Bryce, on the radio show that we do each and every weekday morning on Sonic 1029 in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, find us online at sonic1029.com. We were just I confessed to Crystal on the phone that I've never set foot in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Oh my God, you have to go. The zoo is amazing.
Is it?
Yeah, there's this place, there's this one thing where you walk in to go see the seals, and you walk under, you can see them swimming above your head. Oh. It's so cool.
Yeah, or I could go to an ocean somewhere and see seals, and or I just go to the mall here and see them, right?
Yeah, but you don't see them swimming above your head and playing, and they're like, they're looking at you and trying to play with you through the plexiglass or whatever it is.
Does it make me less of a Canadian that I've never set foot in Winnipeg?
No.
I, too, have never been to Winnipeg. I've never stopped there on a plane.
See, I've done that. I've sat on the, I've never gotten off a plane, but I've stopped there to pick Manitobanites up at the airport so we could continue on to another destination. But I've never been into the city itself.
No, I've only seen it in photographs.
Yeah. And I always feel like Winnipeg is just one of those classic Canadian cities that in order to call yourself Canadian, you should visit there at least once. I mean, yeah. I can talk about Winnipeg, the forks for shopping, am I right?
Yeah.
What about the wind that blows through Portage and Maine in the dead of winter?
Mosquitoes, am I right?
Oh, that Red River, it's constantly cresting. There's always a fear that it's going to flood.
Just a quick trip over to North Dakota there.
See, you can't even tell we're not from Winnipeg. But anyway, that was my confession. I don't feel good about it. I'm a little embarrassed by that.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's, I don't know. I know what you kind of mean by it being one of those Canadian things you think you should do, but also, if you have no reason to go to Winnipeg, I don't know that, I don't know if it's number one on my list of places to go.
Yeah. So many texts. I don't know the order of the alphabet without the alphabet song.
Ooh.
A lot of people didn't know left from right, and I'm one of those people. Like, I can't, if you go, oh yeah, turn left right ahead, I have to, in my mind, I'm like, okay, I play hockey left-handed, and then I have to imagine my stick in which direction. Okay, we're turning this way.
Yeah, six blocks later.
Yeah, exactly. I overshoot the exit.
Didn't someone say that their daughter?
Yeah, their 27-year-old daughter.
27 got an L and an R tattooed on their thumbs.
On each thumb. So, but yeah, great. That's a great way to tell which direction you need to turn, but I don't know that that's going to open a lot of doors when you go to job interviews.
No, when you're applying to be the manager of a bank.
Yeah,
or, they,
or when they have one of those air traffic control job fairs, you know, where they just randomly hire air traffic controllers and they look down and you see you got an L on one thumb and an R on the other. That doesn't really inspire confidence.
No, I don't want to be in the middle of brain surgery.
Yeah.
And the surgeon has to check left or right.
Yeah. Grab a phone call here. Hi.
Hey, I got one of your secret things there.
Yeah? Yeah, what's your secret? What don't you talk about?
Well, I'm 40 years old, and I still don't know the difference between a Robertson and a Phillips screwdriver. I still call them the square or the,
yeah,
you know, the star head or whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to need that screwdriver that's like a little star.
Yeah, which one do you need, the square, the flat one?
Oh,
yeah.
Man, you're speaking my language. That's another thing I need to learn because I blow my credibility every day I go in the garage.
Yeah, I just fake it till you make it, right?
One day my daughter, who is 18 years old, came into the garage, looked at me, and she said, "Have you got a Robertson?" And, like, that was the most shameful thing ever because I had to do, is that the square or the star?
I'm the same, yeah. I just bring all three of them back, and I'm like, oh, here, I brought you your tool.
Sometimes I just hand people a handful of screwdrivers. Like, I pretend, I don't have time. Here, you find one.
And, exactly, yeah. Or just bring a hammer. A hammer always works, right?
See, that's another thing, too. Do you know Phillips from the Robertson, like, just at a glance? Do you know the names?
Yeah. Ooh. I do, but that's a more recent skill that I've acquired.
Did you spend a couple of weekends just sitting at your coffee table, staring at screwdrivers and screw heads and memorizing?
So many flashcards. So many long nights.
When one of my gifted children came out to the garage and asked me for a Robertson, that was a sobering moment for me because I actually had to look at her and go, is that the star? And she's like, it's the square. And she's never been able to make eye contact with me again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a humbling moment.
That was harsh. Should we grab another phone call here? Why not? Hi.
I have a confession.
Okay.
I have colitis. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I do.
So when I gotta go, I gotta go. So one day I left the movie theater and got in my van with my kids and it just hit me. And I was freaking out because I knew I didn't have time to go back into the theater. But lucky enough, I had a Safeway bag in my van.
Oh, boy.
And room in my van to squat and poo in a bag in front of my kids.
What did the kids think?
They weren't that impressed, but they know how it is.
That must be terrible. Like, it must be...
It really is.
Ooh.
Sweet, fancy Moses.
It's
that is horrifying.
Good thing she drives a van and not like a smart car.
Oh,
because
I feel so bad for her because I know like
yeah, colitis, Crohn's. I can't imagine.
It's a difficult thing to live with, and so I feel for her. But my God,
yeah,
her children will be laying on a couch one day telling that to a therapist.
Do you? I wish I would have asked how old the kids were at the time. Because if they were two or three, they probably won't remember. But I don't know, if they were between the ages of 12 and 17, that is going to cause some scarring.
It's going to bend some frames.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to grow up years from now going on a date with someone new, some sweet young thing. And they're going to be like, let's go to the movies. And they're just going to have some Vietnam-style flashback
yes.
and meltdown on the earth. They can't go to the movies because that's where mommy pooped in a bag.
Yeah. They're just going to throw down their popcorn bag and run from the movie theater and probably take one of the fire exit doors, not even go back through the lobby.
That is horrifying.
Yeah.
Every aspect of that story, horrifying.
Palate cleanse?
I need a shower.
We're talking about the stuff you don't talk about because maybe you're ashamed of it. Maybe you're embarrassed. Maybe you don't want to brag. There were a few braggy ones that I found thoroughly. Maybe this is a braggy one. I don't know. And I don't know if I'm supposed to say your name, but you included it in your text message, so I'm going to. Guys, the stuff I don't talk about. I'm currently dating the owner of the company I work for. She has almost 40 employees. I'm pretty sure that no one knows yet. Mark. You know what, Mark? They know.
That's scandalous business.
That's a tough one to keep. Yeah, everybody knows, Mark. Everybody knows.
Ooh, I love that kind of hot goss.
Do you think there's any kind of gossip here?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I crave it, though.
There is some inter-office romance, isn't there?
There always is.
Yeah. Huh. Since we last talked a few months ago, I still haven't ever brushed my teeth. Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
He became a bit of a legend on the podcast and on the radio show as well. He's gone his entire life without brushing his teeth.
Just mouthwash.
Oh.
Yeah, I still call malarkey on that one.
Yeah.
Otherwise, wouldn't your teeth fall out of your face?
Oh, hang on. Somebody who claims they've never eaten fruit?
Nope.
Wow. This is, I'm horrified, but at the same time, I'm impressed. And it's not something you talk about typically?
No, because people tend to be horrified.
Yeah. Do you eat vegetables?
Oh, yeah. Like, that's my number one favorite food. I'm really lame like that.
But what is it about fruit that you've never eaten it?
I don't know. As a kid, my parents would force me to eat it, but the texture would freak me out, and I would, like, gag, and it was just the worst scene imaginable.
Could
so
you,
I just gave up.
Well, congratulations. 30 years. I don't know if there's another 30-year-old out there that's never eaten fruit.
It would be a really weird chance that there is.
How do you go a whole life without, like, a strawberry or a mandarin orange at Christmas time?
Grapes?
How do you go without grapes?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Now everybody's going to point out, if she's had tomatoes, she's had fruit. Because those people exist, remember?
Hey, remember the Actually convention?
They have their own workshop at Actually 2021. The tomato is a fruit people.
They have a booth in the cafeteria.
Yeah, exactly. And they,
tomato is a fruit.
Actually, you're eating fruit right now in that tomato.
That
I can't
crazy.
Imagine. Like, I don't love all fruit. But, like, the banana, like, that's a portable fruit. That's a go-anywhere fruit.
I felt judged by my thing that I admitted to was that, you know, I can read. I need to emphasize that off the top.
Can you, Bryce?
I can read. I know words. But I don't read books. I don't like, I'm not going to sit down and cozy up with a good book on a lazy Sunday.
You're not
going to
put your
Sunday.
Reading socks on?
No.
Do you have reading socks?
I don't.
Yeah.
Because I don't read books. I read articles.
If I got you some reading socks, would you read books?
I don't think so.
No.
No, I don't read, and I felt judged.
No, but you're an informed guy. It's like you know what's going on in the world.
Yeah, I don't need to read the latest John Grisham. I'll wait till the movie comes out. I'm that type of guy.
Then we got this text message after you said that, and tones of condescension, I'm sure, here. It just says, who doesn't read? That's strange. And then it goes, humble brag. My shameful secret is that I quit watching TV 3 years ago so I could read more. I've read over 100 books so far this year and watched only two TV shows, Don't F with Cats and that Cecil Hotel thing.
Hmm. Talk about ships going different directions. We're both doing the exact opposite thing.
Mm-hmm.
Although I did watch that Don't F with Cats thing. That was messed up.
I turned very few things off, but that was too effed up for even me.
That was the Luca Magnotta?
Yeah.
Oof, that was a
I
weird
don't even
one.
Like saying that guy's name.
It was creepy.
I don't like giving him any credit. Ugh.
Of all things to read, and that's the thing you watch?
Yeah. And the Cecil Hotel thing's pretty horrifying, too.
That's that murder in a water tower?
Spoiler alert.
Oh, right.
I wish I could go back in time and yell spoiler alert about 5 seconds earlier.
Yeah, what's done is done.
Oh, listen to this one. I'm 37-year-old male. My secret is that my family... I'm wondering if he means wife and kids. I'm a 37-year-old male. My secret is that my family has no idea I pay almost $400 a month for professional coaching in a video game. It's an esports game, and I captain a semi-professional team that's hoping to become competitive and turn pro. I'm also streaming on Twitch and hoping that by improving my gameplay, I will grow my following. What's the difference? Like, semi-professional just means you're not making any money, right?
Doesn't that mean you're an enthusiast? Like, I'm a semi-professional golfer.
Yeah, so am I. I'm a semi-professional banjo player.
Yeah, it just means you play games and don't get paid for it. Yeah. I think we're all semi-professional by then. But it is interesting that you spend money on the coaching behind your family's back.
Oh, I need more. That should be a topic one day we talk about, too. What are you spending money on that your partner doesn't know about? Bryce, this wouldn't imply to you because you have no partner. It hurts, doesn't it? I'm sorry. That was actually really mean. Bryce, my husband is the same. He's never read a whole book in the 15 years we've been together, but he reads news articles, sports articles, and lots of online forums.
Okay, good. Some slight vindication there.
Oh, here's a couple of poutine, and I'm not going to pronounce it poutine. Like people have pointed out, we pronounce it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
My secret, they're going to be at Actually 2021. The people who like to correct your pronunciation of poutine.
It's poutine.
Poutine. My secret is that I hate poutine. And then somebody else, it was Melinda, who said she prefers shredded cheddar cheese on her poutine over the cheese curds. And I will defend Melinda.
Nope.
I will defend her all cheese tastes the same once you melt it.
No, it has to be the curds. The melted cheese. Ugh. You know, I woke up this morning being like, Bryce, you're not going to judge anyone today.
Oops, just did.
But my God, what a mistake. It's curds. Live the curd life. You'll never turn back.
Again, if I handed you a piece of cheddar and then I handed you a piece of prima donna in its raw state, you'd be able to tell the difference. But once we melt those things down, Bryce, it just becomes cheese soup and it all tastes the same. I would put I put ketchup and vinegar on my poutine.
I would eat some cheese soup.
Yeah.
My heart would love that.
The things I don't talk about. I'm 41 and I don't have a microwave. I've stopped telling people that because they look at me like a whack job when I start talking about how you're poisoning your food and yourself every time you use one. I find it easier to just not talk about it. Huh.
That's a weird one. I've never heard that one before.
How do you eat a pizza pocket?
How do you reheat your Chinese food?
How do you eat in a hurry? Like, well, this person probably puts stuff on a plate, lets the oven preheat, warms it up in the oven. Meanwhile, we're all done eating and have cleaned up.
Yeah.
And
time is money, honey. Hmm. That's what I always say.
My sister-in-law is 37. She has never eaten fruit either. Her favorite food group is bacon. Kevin. Ooh, Kevin working some stuff out about his sister-in-law there.
This fruit thing boggles my mind.
I don't think Kevin likes his sister-in-law. Like, that's what I'm taking away from this.
Yeah, I don't think he said that in an endearing way.
No. I'm from Newfoundland and Labrador, but have never been to Labrador. Can we pull up a map? Like, is Labrador, like, you can see it. It's right there, right?
I'm pretty sure they're kissing cousins, those two.
It would be like, I'm from Edmonton, but I've never been to Red Deer, which is an hour and a half down the highway.
Yeah,
are you looking at it?
I am. I have to zoom out a million miles. Where is Labrador?
Oh, my God. Is that Labrador? Did it leave? Did it? Was it finally just had enough of people not mentioning it when you mentioned Newfoundland that it's like, fine, we're going to go somewhere else?
Which part is Labrador?
Oh my God. I don't know. It's the mainland. Newfoundland is the island
part.
What? Yes. Oh my God. I hope it is. I'm going to feel really stupid if I got that wrong.
I think you're right.
Okay.
I think you're right. Why did I thought it was the other way around. I was looking for an island.
No, Newfoundland just sits out there being majestic and beautiful.
My God.
Icebergs floating by.
This is not a good look for me.
It's like, hey, are there any ships out here that need to...
Newfoundland seems like a beautiful province.
Yeah,
they are definitely extremely close.
Okay.
Huh. Interesting.
We only got two chairs, but maybe if you ask nice, you can sit on Bryce's lap. It's the Lawn Chair Profits.
So Bryce, the other day, you came to me and you're like, I just had $1 billion idea. And I said, do you mean $1 million idea? And you said, no, billion with a B.
With a capital B. This might be the best idea I've ever had in my life.
Really?
And I probably ever will have.
I sort of agree it's a good idea. I don't know if it's, yeah, I mean, you go ahead. You explain.
So, I was out at a bar, a patio. Mm-hmm. I was dining al fresco, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I was looking up at the place next door to where I was dining, which was another bar that did not survive the pandemic. So sadly, the ghosts of good times past were hanging out up there. And I was looking at it being like, man, you know what I should do? Is rent out that place, open a bar, maybe just even for 6 months,
mm-hmm.
and have it exclusively be for 18 and 19-year-olds who became of age during the pandemic and haven't had a chance to go out to a bar or nightclub.
And in your words, swing from the chandeliers.
They've never swung from the chandeliers. They've never been out till 2 a.m., gotten a weird hot dog.
Thrown up in an alley and then gone home.
Thrown up in the back of a cab.
Yeah.
You know, they've never had that experience. And so...
You're right. I mean, this province where we're sitting right now, we're reopening. Like, it's game on as of July 1st.
Yeah. Coming up right away.
Yeah. Bars, nightclubs, everything.
At this bar I was at, I saw two fresh-faced, peach-fuzz, pimply-faced 18-year-olds come walking in. And it was quite clear they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
They didn't know how to order a drink. They didn't know... I don't think they know what they like.
So this bar you're talking about opening, it would be like a rookie training camp type thing.
To the point that I think I want to call it Training Wheels, but with a Z on the end.
Yeah, because young people like that when you swap out the S for the Z.
It makes it totally radical.
Yeah.
Because in the past, you've turned 18. It's been a staggered entry.
Yeah.
So, you know, slowly over time, 18-year-olds. But now we're going to have a year and a half worth of people who have no experience showing up at the same time as people with a lot of experience, and worlds are going to collide. It's going to be ugly.
Anyone over the age of 19, like 20 years and plus, is just going to be annoyed by all the 18 and 19 year olds.
Exactly.
They're not going to know, like, do I dance on the speaker? Do I dance on the dance floor?
There are so many lessons they need to learn.
Yeah. Do people still dance on speakers in nightclubs?
Oh, you have to.
They do?
Oh, you have to. Okay. But, you know, they've never walked up to a bartender in the middle of the night when it's slam busy and they're ordering complicated drinks.
Yes.
For their whole table.
They order something made out of coffee, like they got to make a pot of coffee. And yeah. I'll have a Spanish coffee, please.
No.
I'll have a Pousse Café.
And know what you want before you get up to the bar.
Yeah.
So you're not wasting everyone's time. One of the big lessons they need to learn is what happens when you go to a bathroom and all of a sudden there's someone there with mints, gum, and they're handing you paper towel and are expecting a tip.
Yeah. Do you tip every time? Do you tip once? Do you take a paper towel and not tip at all?
Yeah.
Like, I'm capable of reaming out my own paper towels. Like, I can get that on my own. But I understand it's a job, and they do it to sort of, like, is that person kind of a security guard too? What is that?
I don't know what they're doing or their affiliation, but you've probably never seen a bathroom attendant before. So if you don't want a tip, how do you get out of this one?
Pat your pockets and go, let's back of the, get you next time, brosif.
The Bryce technique would be hang out at the urinal until a couple other people are leaving and then slink out with them.
Draft off of them.
Exactly. Yeah. So these are the lessons they need to learn.
Hey, also another lesson, is the vending machine in the bathroom the best place to get good value and protection when buying condoms? How long have those condoms been in there for? And really, is it more pleasurable for both?
Yeah, probably not.
No.
So.
Yeah, you get back to your, I don't know, basement suite or wherever you're living, and you have to tell the other that I bought a condom in the bathroom at the nightclub. Like, is that a turn on? Is that a turn off?
We could be 9 months away from a boom of teenage parents.
Yes, exactly.
And this can be avoided, and that's what Training Wheels is going to offer, a service that is desperately needed, at least for the beginning, so they can get their feet under them and then venture out into the big, scary world.
Bryce, you're doing important work. This is a gift you're giving people.
This is my philanthropic gift to society, but I will be paid handsomely.
Thanks for listening to the Lawn Chair Profits Podcast with Garner Andrews and Bryce Kelly. Hear more weekday mornings on Sonic 1029 Edmonton. On your radio, on the Radio Player Canada app, and on your smart speaker. Play Sonic 1029.